Here's the Left of Lansing Monday Musing for November 10th of 2025. I'm sorry if this musing goes on for just a little longer than normal, but I have lots to say here after what has transpired over the last 24 hours or so. How quickly things and feelings can change in a week, right? I mean, a week ago, voters made their voices heard in various parts of the country over their dissatisfaction and downright frustration and anger of the direction this country is traveling under the autocratic thumb of the Trump regime. And regardless of all of the spinning from corporate Democrats and their corporate media enablers, populism not only won the week, but populism controlled the electoral narrative. Because regardless of how a so-called moderate, like Virginia gubernatorial-elect Abigail Spanberger likes to spin it, that people want pragmatic solutions as a way to counter the authoritarian right-wing takeover of our government, it was populism that won. It was populism that helped her win her election. We know that because Spanberger herself grabbed the Zoran Mamdani populism torch, at least a little bit, by highlighting the lack of affordability for working-class Virginians. Now, that being said, Spanberger isn't exactly Mamdani, of course, since she's against repealing the pro-corporate right-to-work-for-less law in her state. So much for the working class. However, the most frustrating part about Abigail Spanberger is how she illustrates why it is impossible for Democrats to lead with strength for the working class, since she goes along with what a lot of old-time Democrats have always seemingly believed, at least in my lifetime, that you must capitulate. While on CBS's Face the Nation over the weekend, Spanberger promptly pointed blame on congressional Democrats by saying the election victories in her state of Virginia, in New Jersey, in New York, in Georgia, in Mississippi were not a signal for Democrats to hold the line during the MAGA Republican government shutdown. Huh? All right, well, look, I mean, I get it. Spanberger comes from a state where thousands work for the federal government, and she wanted to make sure they got paid and got back to work. But many of those workers were willing to hold the line with Democrats because it wasn't just about them. The government shutdown represented more than just Virginia jobs. It represented how callous, corporate, and cruel the Trump regime's MAGA Republican Party really is. Dear leaders, approval numbers are dropping fast, and the government shutdown is just one reason why Democrats experienced a happy night for a change last week. Also, Dear Leader got to experience that voter anger in real time while getting booed during the Detroit Lions game at the Washington Commanders on Sunday. And why is it we can't get through a stupid football game without seeing that guy? I mean, I thought MAGA didn't want politics during football. Hey, good thing Dear Leader didn't kneel down, I guess. The shutdown was one of the few times where Republicans were put on the defensive, and they were getting the plurality of Americans to blame them for the shutdown. Hell, voters this week watched as the regime sued to continue to block food assistance SNAP funds from being released. I mean, I would consider that a win for Democrats. I don't get it, because congressional Democrats said no deal to reopen the government unless Obamacare subsidies were reinstated, which would save millions of Americans thousands and thousands of dollars in health care coverage. But in the end, the cave caucus of the Democratic Party, as David Dayan from the American Prospect called him, rushed in to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Seven Democratic senators and one independent, Agnes King from Maine, advanced legislation to reopen the government on Sunday. Interesting to do that on Sunday, by the way. Included in this agreement is a promise to unlock food assistance for the year and to reinstate government workers fired by Dear Leader. Of course, there was a fight happening in the courts over SNAP funding since the Trump regime was illegally blocking aid from reaching the people to begin with. So these senators gave up before that fight was over. But worse, they celebrated. These senators celebrated because they said the Republican majority promised them a vote to restore Obamacare subsidies sometime in December, you know, when everybody's going to be rushing around trying to get ready for the holidays and won't be paying attention as much. Well, great. I mean, that's great. Except it won't pass the House and millions won't be able to afford their health insurance. So this whole shutdown then was for naught. I mean, there was no purpose to it. These eight senators, all of them, by the way, not up for re-election next year or choosing to retire like Dick Durbin of Illinois, these eight senators undercut the popular position Democrats enjoyed on this fight, and all they have done now is make Democrats once again appear feckless and leaderless. Democrats had the moral high ground, but these eight senators and other Democrats like Abigail Spanberger surrendered the high ground. And this happened right after the massive election victories across the nation where voters display their anger towards the intersection of government and corporate corruption. I mean, it just displays how out of touch these people really are, how out of touch these people at the top truly, truly are. Now, let me please just say this. I'd like to give credit where credit is due, okay? And I'd like to applaud Michigan's Democratic Senators Alyssa Slotkin and Gary Peters for refusing to back down, for refusing to capitulate. Slotkin released a statement saying, "Since July, I've been clear. To earn my vote, Republicans would have to do something to bring down the cost of health care for working and middle-class Michiganders. The promise of a vote in over a month does not meet that threshold." Good job there by Senator Slotkin. Additionally, all three Democrats fighting to be the party's nominee to replace the retiring Gary Peters, those being Abdullah Syed, Mallory McMorrow, and Haley Stevens, all announced their opposition to this capitulation. But this Democratic defeat of enormous proportions illustrates why Democratic-based voters are finished with Chuck Schumer leading the Democrats in the Senate. While Schumer voted against the bill, he allowed the vote to happen in the first place and failed to hold his caucus together. I mean, how weak. How weak, Chuck Schumer. I mean, this is the same guy who couldn't publicly support Mamdani in New York City because Mamdani didn't bow to corporate interests or lobbying PACs like AIPAC. And we wonder why, despite her announcement opposing this capitulation, Chuck Schumer is backing a corporate hack like Haley Stevens to be the Democratic nominee for Michigan's open U.S. Senate seat next year. Now, this is just me, but if I were Haley Stevens, I would run away as fast as possible from Chuck Schumer. But she hasn't done that. And if she does now, it won't look real. Oliver Willis said on his Substack today in a post titled, "Democrats Kill Hope Again, the Republicans are worse, has never been a very good rallying cry, but it embodies the inherent weakness of the Democratic Party. Candidates who have adopted the mantra that better things are possible and that Democrats don't have to exist just as a counter to GOP action, but who represent new ideas themselves have been successful. We find ourselves at a new crossroads." He's right. And I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it through the next year. In order to improve the lives of working class Americans, and in the process to strengthen democracy, we just can't go on the attack against MAGA Republicanism. Yes, we should always do that, don't get me wrong, but progressive and populist politics must replace the old and out-of-touch corporate way of thinking within the Democratic Party. We must change the Democratic Party if we're going to defeat the corporate and white Christian nationalist autocracy of MAGA Republicanism. Capitulation is never an answer, especially not with this regime. And that's why it's time for Schumer to walk off into the sunset, or else someone must primary him. AOC. Sadly, a handful of old and out-of-touch Democrats in the U.S. Senate said they didn't care what the voters did last week. They know better. Or at least, you know, their corporate donors know better. No, that's not true. We, the working class, know better. LeftofLansing@gmail.com is the best way to reach me. Subscribe to the podcast and also subscribe to Left of Lansing on YouTube. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, the Gram, and Facebook. Take the battle to them.